That's right. All those moments from the past week will be lost in time, like tears in the rain. You're listening to Parallax Views, the week that was.
That's right. It's another edition of Parallax Views, the week that was. Although this episode is with a heavy heart, because earlier this week, our comrade Michael Brooks of The Michael Brooks Show and The Majority Report with Sam Seder passed away suddenly and far too soon at the age of 37 from a blood clot. Michael, of course, was gaining a lot of steam with The Michael Brooks Show. He had interviewed Lula. He was interviewing people like Cornel West. He was a huge inspiration to me because I'm 29 right now. And it took Michael till he was 37 to get to where he was. I don't mean that insultingly. I mean that in the sense of sometimes I feel like at 29 I should be farther ahead, right? Which really, most millennials are not farther ahead because everything has changed structurally. You know, we're not living in a post-war boom period anymore. But I really looked up to Michael Brooks. He was one of my first guests. Episode 5 of Parallax Views. He then made 2 more appearances, 3 total. I was nervous when I interviewed Michael because people were saying, oh my God, that's such a get. How did you get Michael Brooks on? Because he was a rising star. You know how I got Michael on? I asked him to come on. That's all I did. Which speaks a lot to who Michael was. Because Michael was someone who wasn't just out to be a star. I think he did like being, you know, a respected figure in the left media sphere. But he wanted to lift others up with him. And he did that without any thanks in return. I found out after Michael passed away that Brian Mir from the Brazil Wire, he said to me, you know, I didn't know about your show. I'm out of the loop on American media. So when you asked to come on, you asked me to come on, JG. I asked Michael. And Michael said, go on his show. He's good. He's good people. Michael Brooks coming on my show those 3 times really helped boost Parallax Views. I don't know that I'd be interviewing people like Noam Chomsky now if I hadn't had the cultural cachet from having Michael boost the show, you know. So he was always interested in lifting other people up with him, and not enough of us do that in the left media sphere. And, you know, I got a call from someone the day Michael died. They texted me on Facebook and they said, are you busy? And I said, no. And this is before the news really broke. This is someone on the inside that told me, right? And he called me up and they said, can you keep a secret? I said, yeah, what's wrong? And he said, Michael Brooks is dead. And I don't think I believed it at first. I thought it was a joke. Like maybe one of Michael's friends, like Ben Burgess, was like playing a prank. Nope. It's not a prank. I saw the Majority Report stream afterwards, which Majority Report ended very abruptly that day. Matt Leck, the producer, said, oh, I'm distracted by something. Sam and Jamie were talking, and all of a sudden Sam says, you know, after his face goes pale white, you know, he just said, we have to shut down the show today. And people didn't know what was going on at that point. I found out 20 minutes later what was going on. I was told I couldn't talk about it because, you know, maybe the family didn't want people to know yet. And then a few hours later, it came out publicly. So I had to hold off a few hours before talking about it. But I will admit, I cried like a fucking baby. I know people like David Slavik, Forrest, the editor at the Michael Brooks Show, Jamie Peck from Majority Report, Sam Cedar himself, who Sam did a really good Majority Report tribute for Michael. And I don't know how he kept it together because, you know, he was the one that nurtured Michael and made Michael who he was. But Sam, Jamie, David Griscom, a lot of people I know are real broken up. I had someone call me a day ago that they only met Michael once in person, and they had him on their show at one point, but he said he couldn't stop crying. And I couldn't stop crying. Which sounds weird. It sounds like, oh, that's like a parasocial relationship. It's like, oh, it's like crying over a celebrity. I don't think it is. Because Michael really helped me out. Do you remember when we had Michael on?
Yeah, I do. I don't have words I can really use at this moment. I'd rather let you take the rostrum here.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because I think both you and I were a bit, like, surprised at first, because he, as soon as we finished the interview, he hung up. I was like, whoa, is he becoming a prima donna?
Right? Did we just offend him somehow?
But you know what he did? An hour later, 2-3 hours later, he DM'd me. He DM'd me. And we were actually supposed to talk about how to grow my show. He said, yeah, we'll talk sometime, man. We'll do it in May. I didn't talk to him in May. Or maybe it was June. I'm blanking now because I release so much content. But we were supposed to talk off air about how I could keep growing the show. That never happened. And I regret that now. For me, Michael, along with Zero Books, and I know there's a lot of people that listen to my show that are not fans of everything Zero does. I know there's people that are even critical of some of the things Michael has said in the past few months. But Zero, Michael, C. Derek Varn, they all gave me a very big boost. You know, I was a kid that had dropped out of college. Casey knows this very well. I was a fuck up.
I mean, I wouldn't use the word fuck up to describe you.
I was pretty bad, Casey.
I'm not denying that, but yeah. I'm very reluctant to use terms like that to describe anyone, regardless of where they're at in life.
Well, I had dropped out. I was just going back to college. Zero Books picked me up through Derek. And then I started my own podcast. And then Michael boosted me. So if it wasn't for Michael, I'm not sure Parallax Views would be as successful as it is now. And it is growing now faster and faster, which I'm not used to that. It's very strange to me, right? Support me on Patreon. And support the Michael Brooks Show on Patreon because they're still going. And they're going to keep going. I believe Michael's sister, Leisha, is going to be involved some way in pushing Michael's legacy forward, maybe starting a foundation. Like I said, Michael very thanklessly wanted to lift other people up with him, and not many people do that. And the other thing about Michael is he made people feel special. He made you feel special. He had that charisma. He had interpersonal skills, unlike most people on the left. You know, I'm not saying people on the left don't have interpersonal. He had a very special set of interpersonal skills. Brace Belden's a lot like that now from Truanon. I think Brace has incredible interpersonal skills. People like Brace and Michael are people that know how to make people feel good about themselves. And that's probably Michael's greatest asset. You know, there was a meme that came up, and I think it was a quote of Michael after he passed that said, "Be ruthless to systems, be kind to people." It's probably the best advice we can have. What, do you find that trite?
No, it's beautifully trite.
Right. But, I mean, I think it's just true. People hate sappy shit, but fuck that. That's another thing. Michael was into spirituality, and I'm not. I'm an apatheist. Now, I'm not down with atheism, because Bill Maher disabused me of that notion. I saw the movie Religious, and I was like, fuck this. This is even more obnoxious
than hyper-Christianity. I thought it was
kind of
funny.
Bill Maher is an asshole.
He is an asshole. Admit that Bill Maher is a douchebag. He is.
Is that what turns you against him? I mean, he's just a mean-spirited person.
Like, you watch any episode of his show, and he's just demeaning the opposition guests the entire fucking time. And even though they're a Republican and I wouldn't fucking agree with him, the way he handles discussions like that almost constantly.
We'll get into that. We'll get into that later. I mean, Dawkins is another one. These are all just fucking ridiculous people. But Michael was the opposite of that. Michael was like, I think spirituality is good. Like I said, I'm an apatheist, which means I don't even consider the question relevant. But I don't know. That's what's really shocking about it, because Michael was healthy. He was doing – I mean, he did exercises all the time, lifting. I think he did yoga. I mean, it just – you never know when you're going to get taken, right? You never know when your time's up on the mortal coil. And it's hard talking about, because – I talked to him a few times, and we interacted, and he always was very helpful. You know, I freaked out the one time because I recorded with him, and I thought I lost the recording, and I was sending him messages, and he's like, "Is everything okay?" Like, he wasn't even mad. Like he because I blew up his phone. I was like, "Ah, I think I lost everything," but he wouldn't get mad about it. He was such a good-spirited person. And at one time, I had this investigative journalist, Gerald Posner, on. And some of our listeners probably hate Gerald Posner because he wrote a book called JFK, Case Closed, where he basically said, yeah, Oswald did it alone. He's also written other books, though. He's written books on the Saudi kingdom, the House of Saud, which really good investigative reporting. He's written a book called Pharma recently, which is about the Sackler family and their involvement in the opioid crisis, as well as their broader role in the history of pharma. And I said to Gerald Posner, I've had these guests on. And he scrolled through my list of guests. And the first thing he says to me, he says, oh, I see you had Joseph McBride on. He's a JFK guy, but his book on Capper's good. And then he said, and I also saw you had Michael Brooks on the show. And I said, yeah. And somehow he knew Michael. And I knew that Posner has been on Sam Cedar's show, but he was impressed by Michael Brooks. He sounded like he was really impressed by Michael. So I said to Michael, I got to thank you. I just had a guest on, this investigative journalist, Gerald Posner, who's like a really, like, he's like a pit bull investigative journalist. Very, like, prestige name. There's some controversies that Posner has been in the past, but... You know, a well-known investigative journalist, right? And I said, Michael, he was praising you, man. You know, he said he came on my show in part because, you know, I had you on. I was friends with you. And Michael says to me, oh, that's cool. Who is Gerald Posner? Oh, shit. Because I thought maybe he interviewed Posner on Sam's show. I don't think he ever interviewed Posner. I don't know how Posner knew about him. Which tells you that people were paying attention to him. I mean, Michael is one of those people that is once in a generation. I think there was a Splice op-ed, an obituary about him, that said, like, this is a huge loss for a generation of journalists. He's like a once-in-a-lifetime media personality for our generation. These people come around once in a generation. Maybe not once in a lifetime, but once in a generation. I mean, he went out there, he was interviewing Lula, Cornel West, and he was so happy about it. And he was just reaching the stars, the heights, right? And that's kind of cool because, you know, he came from a poorer background. Very impoverished background, him and Leisha, his sister. So seeing him rise up is a big deal. And like I said, it was at 37 that he was really reaching his peak. And to me, that was inspiring because I'm like, the way I'm saying this probably sounds wrong, but like, I think to myself, oh, 29, that's fucking terrible. I can't fucking make a comeback. Well, Michael made his comeback in his 30s, right? You know, although it's not really a comeback, right? I think millennials, as a rule of thumb, it has taken us longer to get ahead, right? Just due to us not being in a booming economy situation. We just get hit with one thing after another, don't we? 9/11.
Yeah.
2008 financial crisis. The mass psychic trauma of Trump. Now we're going to have climate catastrophe. It's like a fucking... It's like fucking Jaws just keeps chomping at us. And then this. I mean, COVID. I was like, 2020 can't get any more ridiculous. And honestly, 2020 has been a banner year for me, at least. I don't know about you. It's been a banner year.
It's been a year of introspection, I suppose.
I've been interviewing people like Gerald Posner. I've been interviewing Noam Chomsky. I'm like, oh, this is what I always wanted to do, man. It's been a banner year for me. I'm not going to lie. I hate saying that because I know it's been rough on a lot of other people. Although some people, you know, some people, I think, make it more rough than they need to. But we'll get to that later. This, for me, is the first, like, fucking nightmare thing to happen in my psyche, to my psyche, to hit me in 2020 is Michael's passing. Because, like I said, that's once in a generation. He always helped me out. He offered a lot of support. And I really regret not being able to talk to him about how he said, yeah, we'll talk about doing that shit. We'll talk off air about how we can boost your show. And I think he DM'd me after we recorded with him because I think he noticed that he left real quick, right? Like real abrupt, like right after I was done, he was like, just out.
Like literally within 10 seconds.
Yeah, but he DM'd me. And I was surprised by that because a lot of people don't do that, you know. Prima donnas don't say, oh, well, I should have gave a better send-off. You know, he was in a rush. But he got back to me, and we were supposed to talk off air. And that's never going to happen now, which is really sad. But you know what's funny? That Gerald Posner story, I'm going to tell that for the rest of my life. So, yeah, man, he was just praising you. Gerald Posner, big investigative journalist. That's cool. Who is Gerald Posner again? But that shows you a lot of journalists knew who he was. You know, so he was coming up. And it's just like, fuck. Fuck. You know? When you lose someone like that, that was a very special person that just had a great energy to him. He wanted to make people feel good. And like I said, he was really into the whole rising tides lift all ships. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
Like, his tide was rising, and he wanted to lift others up with him. You know, it was all about, I'm on the rise, I want to lift as many people up with me as I can. And there are people in the media world that will never fucking do that. There are a lot of people that don't play by that strategy. He did. I almost said does, because I can't process it. It doesn't make sense to me that he's gone. And, yeah. I don't know what else to say. You know what I will say, though? Rest in power, Michael Brooks. You want to add anything, man?
I don't think it's my place.
I hope those were some good stories for people. I hope I didn't ramble too much.
No, it was cathartic.
You didn't really listen to Michael that much, right?
I barely listen to podcasts as it is. I don't really develop parasocial relationships.
I don't think it was, well...
Not saying that that's your, like, I'm not even a listener of the Michael Brooks show, you know? With them.
I don't consider
I'm not trying to describe your relations with him. I'm just saying I wasn't even close enough to him as a fan.
Right.
So that's why I don't feel it's my place to
say
anything.
Watch the goddamn Lula interview. And Lula left a very nice comment. You know that. Lula da Silva.
The end of the interview?
What's that?
Yeah. No, the end Lula of the interview?
Lula left a comment. Dude. Lula left a comment after Michael passed.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find it.
Are you going to try to read it in its original Portuguese?
That may be a little bit difficult, man.
Difficult? Yeah, probably a bit.
Oh, here it is. Yeah. Sorry for the delay. Lula, official Twitter with a blue check mark. He's one of the good blue check marks, though. Lula says, "This year I met this young American, a journalist, who turned out to be a friend, who I thought that we would meet again. How is it possible? My heart and prayers go to his family and friends. May his passion for social justice be remembered and inspire people around the world." You know, the thing that gets me is how many people Michael touched, because, you know, CNN did an obituary. And it was a weird obituary because they were like, they mentioned Jacobin. They were interviewing people from Jacobin. They're like, yeah, Jacobin, a liberal magazine, was telling. And I'm like, I don't know if Jacobin would like to be called a liberal magazine. And they called Michael a progressive radio host, like a progressive liberal. No, it's Michael was a fucking socialist. Okay. Some type of socialist, a very interesting socialist. You know, I think he believed in reform a lot, but. Yeah, CNN was covering it. I mean, because I don't think anyone expected. There was an outpouring. It was incredible. I mean, when the tribute show happened at Majority Report, I didn't get to call in. I tried calling in. I was on the phone for an hour and a half. Do you know how many people tried calling in?
I imagine tens of thousands.
No. It was like 200 people.
Damn.
We're on the line at the end. At the end.
Yeah.
I'd
be lucky if I could get even 50 people together for my funeral.
Yeah, for 2 days straight, it was in the algorithm. Because she would go on Twitter, and you know how if something gets mentioned enough, it'll get into the algorithm? And there'll actually be like a little thing that says, like, this news story, blah, 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 is trending. And it'll tell you what the whole news story is.
Yeah.
That's what happened with Michael and his passing. Because so many people were tweeting, like, rest in power, Michael Brooks. You know, RIP Michael Brooks. Michael, you did this for us. Michael, we love you. Michael, this can't be happening. I mean, I probably was tens of thousands of people on social media just giving an outpouring. So eventually, CNN has to be like, well, fuck. We have to do an obituary for him. You know?
We got to talk about this.
So, I guess Michael had the last laugh in the win, in the end anyways, right?
I mean, he still gets maligned as a progressive on CNN, but...
You didn't get maligned.
I'm maligned insofar that a progressive is not a socialist.
Yeah. Well, do you think Ben Shapiro will have that outpouring when he's old and bitter and angry at the age of 90?
We live in this kind of universe, so, depressingly enough, maybe.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Michael has the last laugh in a lot of ways. Because I think Michael would be happy that so many... When I say the last laugh, I just mean I'm not a religious dude. I'm not sure. I know Michael was spiritual, but I'm not sure I believe in, like, that big old kingdom up in the sky. Right? I'm not sure about that. But if that does exist, he's looking down on us. And he's smiling, man. Because he's just, like, seeing all these people who were touched by what he did. And that takes talent to be able to touch people in that way. When you don't even necessarily know the guy. Like, on a very personal level. Like, none of us knew Michael the way his sister did, or maybe even Jamie Peck or Sam Cedar at the Majority Report. They knew, they worked with Michael every day. I mean, I feel bad for Majority Report because, you know, there's going to be a Michael Brooks-sized hole in the Majority Report for a long time to come, right? But I think Michael's looking down and seeing all these people that are just so appreciative of the work he did. And I think he'd be smiling. And I think he'd also love that a lot of us got started because of him. I got started because of him in ways. I mean, Zero helped. C. Derek Varn helped. But Michael Brooks helped me too. Those three parties were a big, big reason that I'm able to do what I do now. And Michael did that for a lot of people. There were people calling in talking about that. He helped them get started with podcasts. He helped a lot of people out. And I think the contribution he left means that he gets the last laugh. So he's smiling at us somewhere. Oh, fuck. Now I'm turning religious. Fuck. We gotta move on to another topic. I think that was a good tribute.
Yeah, that was heartfelt.